Well, God bless you, everyone. And this is Thursday, the 22nd of August, 2024, is the afternoon time. And in my last sharing, an audio that I sent out just to a few people, I spoke about what is a poverty mindset and how to begin to change it. And I've had some really great feedback on it, and it met some needs, and it was very helpful to the people that gave me the feedback. And so today I want to look at changing from a poverty mindset and embracing God's abundant provision, having that mind. And so to begin, you know, change starts from within. It doesn't start from without. You know, a lot of people, they live their lives and they're okay, they're content, and then things go wrong in their life and they want to kind of do different things. They think if they change the curtains, change the settee, bring in new carpet, paint the walls, they're trying to get comfortable. But also there's always that need in their heart that hasn't changed, even though they may have changed the outside and feel a bit comfortable. It's not long before they get back to the negative ways of thinking and feeling and being unsatisfied. And that is also a poverty mindset, you know, because things are not changed in their life. They've only addressed the outside, which is superficial. You know, what we need to change is the inside. So it starts with changing what we think on and what we dwell on. And God's words and ways should be the dominant thought in our hearts and thinking. No one can change until they change what they're thinking. You know, and we've learned about words, that what we think we will speak, and that our words are a creative force, and we're creating and framing our world through the words that we speak. And if they're negative, if they're fear-filled words, not faith-filled words, then that's what's going to start producing in our life. And, you know, and determines our attitude and responses to other people and the people we draw in our life also. So in Romans 12:2, you know, Paul said this great statement, which is, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, we don't want to stay where we was first born into, all the programming, all the things that we learned from our past, all the wrong things, all the limited beliefs that we picked up and learned, all the fears that we learned, all the wrong understanding on life and living that we've learned. And we obviously learned a lot of great things too, but there's all those programmings, paradigms that are there within us, which is like a program in us, you know, directing what we're doing. But the way we change that is by receiving the heavenly words, the sound direction and words of life from God. And that's what we're to renew our minds to, you know, that we think God's ways and we think God's thoughts. And not only do we think it, but we speak it and we act upon it. And then our life starts to transform, just like that caterpillar to a butterfly. We start to fly rather than crawl on the ground on our bellies like a caterpillar does. And it says, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You know, our God is a God of great love, a God of great grace and mercy and kindness, and he's a great God of abundance. And he only wants the best for all of his people. You know, God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. This is God's great heart to the whole world. And for us to be born again of his spirit, now we're sons and daughters of God. God wants us to really live a great life. You know, so our thinking is very important. And as we become born again, we start to change. We start to grow and develop. But it's what we meditate upon. It's what we dwell on. Like it says in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, as a man, a woman think in his heart, so is he. You know, but through our life, we've adopted different mindsets, different ideas of how we should live, how things should be. But God's got the perfect plan of how we should live and how things should be and how it can be in our lives if we receive and desire the best life that he's got for us. We know that Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, that's mentally and spiritually, which plays out and manifests also into the physical of our life. And so I, you know, let's start off with some examples of a poverty mind, how a poverty mind thinks, and how an abundant and prosperous mind thinks. Okay, on the poverty side, or the poverty mindset, we'll think along these lines. Number one, there will never be enough. Now, how many times have we said that there's just never enough? Or, you know, it just never seems to be what I need. I always fall short, you know. Number two, like feeling the need to compete, to stay on top. You know, we see other people doing well and we don't want to be below them. We want them to see, oh, we're good people too. And we understand these things, you know. And there's number three, being stingy. You know, we hoard everything. You know, we're very stingy with our money, with our time, with the things that we have in our life because we're afraid of losing it. And then also number four is that we hold the knowledge, we understand things, but we never act upon it. So all the wonderful encouragement that may be given to a person, you know, from God, they may have the knowledge of those things, but they just never put it into practice. They never really let it get down into their hearts because the old dominant thoughts are still there. They haven't renewed their mind in those areas. They haven't taken these things to God and let God show them and enlighten them. And then there's the other mindset is selfish towards others. We can be very selfish, you know. Think of ourselves. Because we still have lots of needs. So we think of ourselves. We got lots of needs and lots of errands. We're going to be selfish, you know. There's lots of people that do have a lot of need and they're not selfish. But they still haven't got nothing, right? Because they haven't got the mind to believe to receive that as they give, they receive, you know. And also, a poverty mindset can make you suspicious. You know, we see someone being very successful, doing really well financially or in their relationships. We think, what are they up to? What have they done? You know, I'm a good person. I don't have what they got. And some people might think they're a better person than this person that's doing really well. So it can make us have a suspicious mind of other people's actions, how they acquire things or other people's material motives. And or what person may be up to because they want to give you good things. What's this guy up to? Because no one in the world really gives you good things. So when you come along and you're a generous type of person, this limited mindset will make you suspicious of other people. And then there's fear of being replaced. You know, I'm not as good as this person. They'll probably supersede me or they'll be favoured over me. These are just some poverty mindset thinking and logic that is in that old nature of ours, you know. And maybe we've been programmed with these things, maybe not everyone, but these are just some examples of what a poverty mindset can think about. And when we recognize it, and we recognize it in ourselves, then we can begin to change it. A lot of people are not aware that they have a poverty mindset, you know, because they just naturally think that what they think is right. Everyone does, right? So what's an abundant, prosperous thinking? Number one, there will always be more. No, we don't have to worry about anything. No, why? Because God is our provider. There'll always be more. There's always an abundance. And a good, prosperous mindset will focus and act to stay on top of the things in their life. You know, they're not letting things go, but they're on the ball. They're moving. They're keeping things on the ball, moving, and they're generous. Number three, they're generous. Someone with an abundant, prosperous thinking is a generous person on all areas. And number four, shares what they know. Like the information that I'm learning and I'm practicing and I'm seeing results, I'm actually sharing with you now. These are the things that God is showing me and highlighting to me. And I felt very inspired to put this down and to make some notes. And as God was inspiring me, and now I feel inspired to share it with you. And you may be perfect in everything, so this is not aimed at anyone, but aimed to highlight certain areas of our life and thinking, and that really we can change our lives by changing our thinking through the heavenly words and direction, and seeing the goodness and grace of God, that this life, this abundant life, plays out on every level. Jesus Christ, you know, paid for everything for us so that we could, not only are we complete spiritually, but also physically, mentally, emotionally, materially. And that comes into evidence when we receive the truth in love and continue in the words that we've been encouraged. You know, and also a good, prosperous mindset is that we always believe in the best. You know, instead of dreading the worst, you know, we get some bad news. and we look at the severity of that bad news rather than believing for the best in that, because we know we got God. And then number seven is we desire to continue to grow and learn. You know, a poverty mindset will always want to give up. Oh, I can't do this. You know, I'm not going to bother anymore. And a lot of people live defeated. A lot of people live, you know, isolated because of these, this kind of mindset. And they feel that they can never do any better. Older people, middle-aged people, even younger people. But for us and for those that desire to really prove God in their lives, that what God says is true, and that what God says we can have, we can have. And there's something that God has done everything. It's up to us now. Like, he's empowered us to get these things and implement them into our lives. So, you know, we desire to continue to grow and learn in these areas. So these are great examples of thinking we can begin to recognize in ourselves and others. And we're aware of it, you know, we become aware of it. So the contrast of a poverty mindset and an abundant mindset is in total opposition to each other. And, you know, I just listed a few things there. You know, and other people call a poverty mindset scarcity. You know, a scarcity mindset is a paradigm, things that we learnt from the past. But God says, you know, behold, all things have become new. We're a new creation in Christ. And as we live in that new man, behold, all things are becoming new. As we practice, as we believe, as we confess, it becomes a part of who we truly are, because that's who we truly are. We are as Christ is. You know, so many believers also may have a poverty mindset because of fear, wrong beliefs about the grace and character of God in his goodness. Our God is a good God, and he wants the best for everyone. You know, he so loved the world that he gave his only son. He's a big giver. And he didn't leave anyone out. He thought of everyone. And he made it available. And we're the truth bearers of that. You know, we see how God has taken our lives and changed it around as we responded to his love, to his generosity, to his kindness. And God wants to really lavish his blessings upon you. He really wants you to come out from where you are, if you're in a negative area, whether it's spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, relationships. He wants you to have the best in all of those things, in all of those areas of life and living. You know, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. This is God's heart. Beloved, you're his beloved. He wishes above all things. His intent and desire is that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. It's dependent upon your soul, your will, your mind, your emotion, your intellect, all your faculties that makes you you. He wants you to prosper, and you can only prosper through the truth, through the rhema words, through the heavenly words, through the truths that are also recorded for us to see and know, so that we can see the goodness of God. He is amazing God. And yes, this abundant life is for you, it's for me. God wants you to be successful on every level. We're his children. So the scriptures don't explicitly discuss the concept of a poverty mindset, right? As we understand it today. However, there are individuals in the scriptures whose attitudes and actions may reflect elements of what we would consider a poverty mindset. You know, and it's characterized by fear and doubt or a scarcity mentality, rather than faith in God's provision. So I want to just give you a few examples. This is not going to be a long-winded thing. This is something just that God put in my heart to share these couple of audios, or these few audios I'm going to do, just to highlight things for you, that you go to God with it. You ask God to show you these things. If you struggled in your finances, or you never seem to have enough, or you just got your basic needs met and maybe a little bit over, you know, you got to understand, God wants you to be in the position to be blessed, to be a blessing, because you are blessed to be a blessing. You just may not be manifesting it. And so these audios that God put in mind is just to make you aware of these things. And maybe you go to God, and maybe you ask him to show you about these things, because there's so much truth and so many examples about being blessed on every level, on all levels. Not when, see, when we talk about abundance and prosperity, it's not just about money. It's about your thinking, your mind, your emotions, your relationships, everything that you do in your life. God wants you to be prosperous and abundant and blessed in those areas, and that you've got clarity of thinking in those areas. You've got awareness in those areas. You can help other people in those areas. So this is why I'm doing these audios. It's just put in my heart, like God showed me about faith and confession. I done the seminar, you know, and so for this, I think it's a big thing, because many believers are living below par, you know, and I can see the need, you know, like I can see the need. It's not just like the believers I know. I'm on about many thousands of people as believers, you know, they just go to churches. They see the minister get rich and the church get rich, and they're just getting by, or they got their needs met and they're satisfied with where they are. God wants you blessed, but never stay where you are. Never be satisfied in the sense of, well, I've got this, so I'll just be happy and content with this. No, God wants you to have more, so that you can really be a blessing, that you can really shine as his light on every area of this life and living that we've got. And I'm still growing and learning this. I'm still a baby in these things. You know, I'm learning now, and God has shown me, and I really prayed about sharing this audio, because it's not like your ordinary audio I do. So I just want to go through these. So I want to give you a few examples about someone that may have a scarcity mindset or poverty mindset in the scriptures. And, you know, it's just really wonderful when it's there. Like, first of all, the one that comes to my mind is the woman at Zarephath, you know. And, you know, when Elijah asked her for food during a famine, she initially expressed that she only had a small amount of flour and oil left, right? Just enough for one last meal for herself and her son before they would die. You know, where was her mind? What was going on? You could see a lot of fear there. And obviously, the hope wasn't in God, because she was going to give up after that. That was going to happen. She was going to have that, and she thought that was it. But God is a God of love. God is a God of grace, and he sent Elijah in there. So you can read that in 1 Kings 17. You can go there yourself and have a look. So her response shows us a focus on scarcity, poverty mindset, and the fear of lack. But this changed for her, and it changed through the words that Elijah spoke to her. And obviously she had nothing else to lose, so she done that, you know, and God blessed her. And you can read the record, you can see the outcome of what God did. And then you got the example of the children of Israel in the wilderness after being freed from slavery. The Israelites, you know, they frequently complained about their circumstances, and they doubted God's provision. You know, sometimes we can doubt God's provision for our life, but God is a superb provider. He's the best, and he's faithful at it. Regardless of whether we do right or wrong, God will always take care of us and get us to where we need to be. So despite witnessing miracles, you know, they seen the parting of the Red Sea, the water come out of the rocks, manna from heaven, fire by day, a pillar of cloud by night. No, they often expressed fear and anxiety about their future. Sometimes we can do that. Sometimes we can see other believers do that. But God is taking great care of all of us. And so God wants us to have faith, not fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So, you know, we see it, you know, going into the promised land, their reluctancy to enter that promised land. It was due to fear of the inhabitants, the giants. They seen the giants bigger than God. Not all of them, but the majority of them. And they died in the wilderness. And God doesn't want any of his people to die unfulfilled and that they haven't seen how God is faithful. You know, God wants us to prove these things in our life. Like, for an example, with Malachi. You know, God says, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts." What does it say in Romans 12:2? "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove." God wants us to prove him. And when we apply and do, this is where a lot of believers, you know, fall short, because they know the truth. They got this knowledge, but no application. or a little application, or a half-hearted application of the truth. So they never get the understanding and see the true heart of God's greatness in these areas for our life and his will for us to really be successful. So they're reluctant to enter into promised land due to the fear of the giants. Why? Because they were scared. They had a poverty mindset. They lacked trust in the promises of God. Even Gideon, you know, Gideon, when first approached by an angel to deliver Israel from the Midianites, expressed doubt and saw himself as insignificant, didn't he? He said, my clan is weak in Messiah, in Massana, and I am the least in my family. So that reflects a mindset of inadequacy and a focus on limitations rather than God's ability to empower him. It's God that empowers us. It's God that lifts us up and puts us on top. You know, so God is just really amazing. I was reminded, in fact, it's just come to my mind, of Jabez. You know, his name reflected scarceness and lack and all these things. And but he said he went to God. He went to God with faith. And he said, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and that you would enlarge my territory, that your hand is with me, and that you keep me from evil, so it doesn't cause me pain. You know, he went to the God of heaven, and it says, and God granted him his request. And he had nothing to lose, so he went and asked. And that's what we need to do. We need to go and ask. God's not saying no. Like he didn't say no to Jabez, he's not going to say no to you and me. And what about the rich young ruler? Well, obviously he didn't have a poverty mindset because he was rich. No, it's not true. Right. Although wealthy, the rich young ruler approached Jesus with the concerns about inheriting eternal life, right? And when Jesus told him to sell his possessions and give to the poor, he went away sad. Why? Because he had great wealth. You can read that in Matthew 19, verses 16 to 22. It was his attachment to his wealth and fear of losing it suggested a mind focused on material security rather than trusting in God's provision. See, all of this is about trusting God to provide, trusting God to take care of us. And before we would rely on our jobs to take care of us, or our mum, or our dad, or our aunties, or our uncles, or our friends, if we didn't have a lot. But God wants us to trust in him, like it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Even the disciples, you know, they said, like, you know, Jesus, like all these guys, they're here. And it's getting dark, we need to send them away because we ain't got enough food to feed them. So when they were faced with that large crowd needing food, the disciples expressed doubt about how to feed so many people with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you can read that in John chapter 6, verses 7 to 9. Their focus was on insufficiency of their resources rather than God's ability through Christ, ability to multiply that bread and those fishes. And this revealed their limited perspective on God's provision. See how God is a great provider. Again, it just shows us that sometimes, you know, people struggle with doubt and fear and scarcity mindset despite God's promises and power to provide abundantly. So while the scriptures, again, doesn't, you know, directly use the term poverty mindset, it does teach on attitudes relating to wealth and provision, trust and stewardship. You know, God's teaching on these topics can be understood through various titles or themes that help to address poverty mindset. And here are some titles or themes that reflect God's teaching on overcoming a poverty mindset. For example, God is the provider, Jehovah Jireh. And you can look at Genesis 22, verse 14. So the name Jehovah Jireh, Jireh. I don't know which way it is, whether it's Jireh or Jireh. The name Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will provide, was revealed to Abraham when God provided a ram as a substitute for the sacrifice of Isaac. So the title emphasizes that God is the ultimate provider of all our needs, counteracting a poverty mindset that doubts his provision. So the abundance of God, John 10:10, you know, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches by Christ Jesus. So Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So this focuses on the fullness and abundance that God offers, both spiritually and materially. And Philippians 4:19 shows the believer that God will supply all their need according to their glorious riches. Now we say we believe these things, right? So if we believe these things, believe in his action also, we start moving towards the direction God shows us how to receive these things. And it's through faith, and there's things that we also need to do. So stewardship of our resources. And if you look at the parable of the talents, you know, you have these guys that had the talents, and two of them was good with it, and the other one buried his talents. So basically, you know, that teaches us about being faithful with God and with what he's entrusted to us. A poverty mind may lead to fear of using other resources, not relying on God, going somewhere else to get your needs met outside of God. But God is showing that we should be wise and faithful and go to him and also manage what we have, trusting him for increase. So like with our finance, what do? We honour God. We honour God with our substance and the first fruits of all of our increase. So again, it's building up of faith. You know, about trusting. Now, this is the key thing. Like, God just wants us to trust him. He is the source of all our supply. You know, he's going to take care of everything in our lives. Before we knew about God, we used to rely on other things. And these are programs that were built into us. But now we're born again. Now we know that there's a God of the heaven and the earth, and he's taking care of us. Now we need to get our thinking towards him. And God provides the faith. He gives the right words of what we're to believe. Like Jesus, you know, he explained to the disciples, you know, why take you thought for the things of this world? You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So he's teaching them not to worry about their daily needs, such as food, drink, clothing and other things. Because your heavenly father knows that you have need of them. So basically, again, it's conveying that, and it counteracts a poverty mindset by encouraging and trusting God's provision rather than their anxiety and scarcity. You know, so whatever you're believing God for, you trust God to provide it. And don't let the old nature of anxiety, where is it going to come from, how it's going to happen. No, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we need to also be content with what we have. Sometimes we look at what we don't have rather than focusing on what we do have right now and being thankful and having a heart of gratitude for what we got. God will give you more, you know. But when we're complaining, like the children of Israel, they complained. They didn't enter in that promised land. You know, and we're seated at the right-hand side of God. We should be living a really great life on every level of living. I'm not saying no one isn't. Again, these things are just to make us aware of limited beliefs we might have, fear and errors we might have, or don't even know about them. But when they come up, you know, through this, you'll recognize things. You'll start to be aware of things. You know, so again, you know, we just need to be content. Even Paul said, you know, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance he was in. Whether he had plenty or he was in want, he was content and he was thankful to God, knowing that God would take care of his need. He was grounded in that strength of who Christ is and who God is. So challenging the fear of dissatisfaction is often found in a poverty mindset. You know, so when we're dissatisfied, well, I haven't got enough, or you get blessed and you still think you should have had more. That could be a poverty mindset, right? Like, God will provide everything for us every day, every week, every month, every year, and through the years. Another key to really, or I don't like using that word key, but another thing is that when we have the poverty mindset, we're stingy. Now, I read it out earlier on, and or I spoke it out earlier on. You know, we don't want to be stingy in our hearts and minds. So generosity in giving. And you can read 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 8 and Luke 6, 38. I've given you the scriptures there, so you go and check out yourself what I'm saying, right? So the Bible or the scriptures teach that God loves a cheerful giver, and those that sow generously will reap also generously. And a generous heart isn't being stingy, isn't thinking, well, I really need that. We know I can be generous because my God is faithful and will generously bless me back so that I can continue to bless. I can continue to live a wonderful life that he wants me to live. So a poverty mindset often fears loss through giving. But God promises that those will give will experience his abundant provision in return and in every area. You know, Job, if you think about Job, actually, you know, he had limited beliefs and fears there. He had a poverty mindset in a sense, even though he was the richest guy in the East. You know, his kids were really enjoying the abundance that God had blessed their dad with. And he was thinking, oh, maybe they sinned, maybe they've done that. And he made it his confession, opening up the door for Satan to come to steal, kill and destroy, which he did. But thankfully, you know, God worked with Job, and Job held his integrity, and God blessed him double back, you know, towards the end of his life, towards the end of what he was going through. So, you know, just remember that, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love and a sound mind. A poverty mind is often driven by fear of lack and insecurity. But speaking the right things, we encourage people and believers to trust in God's power and love, which breaks any fear that might be there. So God is just really wonderful. He's working in us both to want to do of his good pleasure. He's showing everything. And also, I was sharing in my one-on-one yesterday, you know, that Satan may be the God of this world, but he's not the God. He doesn't own the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns all the gold, all the silver, all the resources are here. You know, Psalms 21, you can look at Haggai 2, verses 8. So the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Recognize that God owns everything. He helps us. And he helps us to shift from a scarcity mind to one of stewardship, understanding that all resources are ultimately belong to God and are entrusted to us of God. You know, God gives these things so that we can use and utilize them in our life. So, you know, when we renew our minds, when we're changing our thinking, you know, through the not only receiving God's words, but through the practice and confession of these things, you know, it involves aligning our thoughts with God's truth. And this includes rejecting a poverty mindset and embracing God's promise of provision and abundance, allowing his words to transform our thinking. So these titles and themes that I've gone through here encapsulates God's teachings on trusting his provision, being faithful with what he's given us, using it wisely, practicing generosity, and renewing our minds. And so they collectively address the root cause of a poverty mindset, replacing fears and doubts with faith and confidence in God's care and abundance. You know, God is really with us. And so as we ask God to show us and teach us about these things, he can really open up our hearts. He can really show us. Our confession is really, really important. But I'm going to stop there right now. And I trust this has helped you and blessed you. And also, again, you know, you go to God with these things. We look to God. You know, we don't look to men. You take these things to God and you ask God, you show me about these things. If there's errors that you're struggling in, if there's a problem that you never got over, because you just may not be aware of it. It could be a limited belief. It could be an old paradigm programming in you. So, yes, I will stop there. So God bless your hearts.